My dear Frodo, you asked me once if I had told you everything there was to know about my adventures. While I can honestly say I have told you the truth, I may not have told you all of it.
Bilbo Baggins, I'm looking for someone to share in an adventure.
I can't just go running off into the blue. I am a Baggins.
Wait!
Of Bagend.
Bilbo, allow me to introduce Fili, Kili, Oin, Loin, Darlin, Balin, Biffa, Bofa, Bomba, Dory, Nori, Ori, and the leader of our company, Thorin Oakenshield.
Far over the misty mountains cold, to dungeons deep and caverns old, the pines were roaring on the height, the winds were moaning in the night, the trees like torches blazed with light.
I cannot guarantee his safety.
Understood.
Nor will I be responsible for his fate.
You'll have a tale or two to tell when you come back.
Can you promise that I will come back?
No. And if you do, you will not be the same.
Well, good morning. I sure hope you guys are ready for an adventure. Because that is exactly why I'm here this morning, is because I am looking for people that are interested in an adventure. Just as Gandalf invited Bilbo and said, I'm looking for someone who wants to jump onto an adventure. And the adventure that we're talking about is an epic journey, without a shadow of a doubt. A completely unexpected life, because that is exactly what happens when we discover what it really means to follow Jesus. What it really means to discover him and to chase after him and to follow him into whatever life it is he has written for us. It is an epic adventure and an unexpected life. And I can't promise you that this adventure is going to be one without its misty mountains and without its deep valleys, without difficulty and disappointment and struggle. But I can promise you that along with all of what comes in this adventure, all of the struggle and difficulty and weight, whenever you are called into things greater than your capacity, bigger than you thought you could, out of your comfort zones, into the reality of life, that always happens. With it also comes the grandest beauty and greatest wonder that you could possibly imagine. That is the adventure that the Scriptures calls us into as God speaks to us through his word. 10 years ago, this adventure began, at least in terms of this story, for my wife and I. God invited us as he spoke to us through his word and through his spirit in our inner being and said, I want you to go out and I want you to birth a local expression of my global body that spans generations and spans the globe. I want you to start a church in the greater Orlando metropolitan area. That's where I want you to go. And so we came here 10 years ago with nothing but a dream and a prayer in our hands. That's it. We were like, there's what we've got. That's it. We have a dream, we have a prayer, and that's it. God invited us into this adventure. As we entered into this place, into this greater Orlando area, we dreamed of a place that down the road would be very different. We stared through our mind's eye 10 years into the story. We asked ourselves 10 years ago, I wonder what it will look like 10 years from now. And we dreamed then. We dreamed of a place where anyone, regardless of their background or their journey, would be able to have an authentic experience of God. Where this place would be like a breath of fresh air to somebody. Where they would go, oh, that just feels great. We prayed that it is in this place that people would discover the reality, the full, real scope of what redemption actually means. We asked ourselves, what would it look like if people started realizing that the redemptive reality of Jesus wasn't just something that was given to us to rescue our soul for an eternity that comes after we die, that it's something you receive, put in a pocket somewhere and hold on to so that someday at least you can be with God. But what if people actually discovered that the redemptive work of Jesus not only rescues our soul for eternity, as it does, but it also restores our purpose for the here and now. That it gives us significance in life and mission that we can live out, that we become once again men and women that get to carry the gospel. What would happen, we dreamt 10 years ago, if we could gather a group of people that would discover this redemption and realize in it the extraordinary freedom that it holds. That we are so free in Christ that there is nothing left to do to try to get right with God. That we are right with God, and that with a restored purpose, we are sent on mission. That freedom, that wonder, what would happen if people discovered that? And we dreamt of a group of people that would discover that and then be compelled by that freedom, by that reality, to walk out into their lives and to see once again that their jobs and their marriages and their parenting and their communities and their house and their journey, all of it were platforms by which they could live out their brand new restored purpose of making the redemptive reality of Jesus known through their actions and through their words. Where we could live out redemption in other people's lives. What would that place be like? We dreamt about that 10 years ago. 2013, I stand here on the stage as I always do at the beginning of each year here at Mosaic Church, and I get to share with you guys the dreams and the visions we have for 2013. What can you expect here in this place in this year? What should we be looking forward to together? But this year is a little different than years past, I gotta tell you, because on Easter Sunday of 2013, we turned 10 years old. And so we get to stand on Easter Sunday of this year in that place that we could only see through our mind's eye 10 years ago. And we get to say, we have arrived at the dream we had back then. We get to stand here and go, well, how'd it go? How'd it go? We get to ask ourselves, have we seen what happens when a place comes together and people begin to experience that breath of fresh air, that wonder of redemption, that rescue and restoration, that stirring inside of them to want to go and change the world, to want to do something bigger than they can believe or imagine, to go beyond their capacity, out of their comfort zones and go crazy. Could we say, wow, I think we're sort of standing on the edge of that reality? And so in order to understand what is going to happen at Mosaic in 2013, why we're going to focus on the things we are, why we're going to run the journey we are here in this year, I think it is only appropriate at this particular junction to travel in time 10 years ahead one more time. Just to quickly stare 10 years down the road and just to say, what should it, could it look like? What goes on in Renaud's head when he looks at this? And instead of standing with nothing in his hands going, a dream and a prayer, what does the Spirit of God begin to stir in me as I now stand with people gathered, thousands of people together in one place going, what would it look like if we go change the world? We have more than we can imagine. What do we do with that? So I want to throw around a couple of things for you that are stirring in my mind as I stare down the corridors of time 10 years from now. I want to throw a number out to you first. Here's a number for you. Ready? Take a look at this number. 2,135,000. 2.135 million. What number is that? That number is the approximate population of the Orlando metropolitan area, the greater Orlando area, which includes Orange County, Osceola County, Seminole County, and Lake County. That number represents the approximate population of all the people that live around you and me. That's right. All of you in this place, or at least shall I say, most of you live in the greater Orlando metropolitan area. If you are driving, more than an hour and a half to get here. Come talk to me afterwards. That's ridiculous. I'll find you a good church in your area, okay? So you should, in all sense, probably fall into the category of saying, yep, that's about my home, more or less. Which means that that number represents the reality of the local wonder into which God has called us into as a cumulative body of Christ. Now I want to throw another number out at you. Here's another number. Take a look at this number. This number is 427,000. 427,000. What on earth is that number? That number represents exactly 20% of the Orlando population. So if you take the full number and you boil it down, the greater Orlando metropolitan area, 20% of that is 427,000 people. Why is 20% significant? Because sociologists in all of their study have concluded that if at any point in time you take a grouping of people, that is a tribe, a family, a corporation, a city, any grouping of people that call themselves a community, and you want to see a particular idea become part of the DNA of that community, a particular idea becomes so ingrained into that community that you cannot exist in that community without encountering that idea at some point throughout your experience in that community, you need 20% of that community to have the idea, buy into the idea, and live out the idea. In other words, it can't just be something up here. It's got to be something experienced. If 20% of a particular community believes and lives out the reality of an idea, sociologists tell us that that entire community will be marked by that idea. And everyone in the community will encounter that idea in a very real way at some point in their journey. So, if we talk about being called to a greater metropolitan area, in this case of Orlando, and we want to be a church that shapes and changes the world, which is what we want to be. That was part of the dream 10 years ago. And we talk about words like transformation. We want to see transformation take place. We want to see the reality of redemption, the freedom that we've discovered, transform the people around us. Then we should be thinking in this way. We should be thinking 20% of our population should encounter, experience, and fall into and live out the reality of redemption. I was with a dear friend last night, and we were talking, and they're going through some very difficult times right now in their life, and he said to me, in the midst of some very difficult things, he sat, and he said to me, man, this is really hard, but I gotta tell you, if anyone that does not know God could trade places with me for one day in the middle of this circumstance and experience what I'm experiencing through the biblical community and the Spirit of God and the Word of God, they would never go back to their old life. They would never go back. They would never leave this place because there is nothing better than this regardless of circumstance. And I thought to myself as he said it last night, who wouldn't want to let people know about that? Who wouldn't want people to experience that? And I dream a dream that 10 years from now, we would be part of a story in the greater Orlando metropolitan area that has seen 427,000 people encounter, experience, engage in, and live out the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the conversion gospel, just to get him to say a prayer. The real experience that we dreamed 10 years ago about, where people experience redemption, the rescue of soul, the restoration of their purpose, and the living out of mission, the adventure, the wonder, the beauty, the freedom, that gospel, that they've experienced that gospel. That is a bigger story than we are capable of. Let me tell you why, okay? Let me give you another number real quick. Here's another number. Take a look. 238,030 people. That number is the representation of the 10 largest churches in America pulled together. If you take the 10 largest churches in America, the biggest ones, the giant ones, and you pull them all together and you stick them all in one city, that's how many people are involved in those churches, right? And I'm not saying even all those churches are healthy churches. They're just big, right? Some of them great, some of them not so great, but that's how many people. So listen, if we became, you ready for this? The biggest church in all of the United States. We exceeded all the other 10 churches. We became a giant of giants. We wouldn't be anywhere near that number because that's all 10 of them put together. We'd be a little drop in a bucket when you're talking about 427,000 people, right? So this is no job for one church. This is a bigger story than our capacity. It requires us to partner with and collaborate with multiple expressions of the church in our city, multiple areas where the gospel is being expressed through organizations and learning institutions, and coming together with them and saying, let's do this together. Let's see what happens when we drive our people into the same mission and say, carry the gospel for real, into the world. 10 years from now, I plan on standing in that story. I plan on seeing 427,000 people in our city engaged in the gospel. It's going to be a big story. No, it doesn't stop there, though, because that's just around here. We actually want to change the whole world. So let me show you. This little city is an odd city as cities go. Do you know why? Here's another number for you. Take a look. 51,450,000. 51 million. You know what that represents? The amount of people that visit our city every year. Every single year, 51,450,000 people visit our city. You think our city will be a cool place if you live here and no matter where you go, you can't go to a grocery store or a park or work or your neighborhood or the gate guard at your gate or the guy that fixes your car. You can't go anywhere without knowing that you're probably going to encounter the reality of redemption through somebody's life. Can you imagine what this city begins to look like if you can't even visit this city? You can't go through a toll booth without somebody expressing the love of God to you through their lives. And you just go, that was the oddest toll booth person I have ever seen. You can't enter into a park through a gate. You can't stand in a line. You can't go into a grocery store anywhere without, within that week of visiting our city, encountering redemption somewhere and going, what was that? Look at that. In that big number that we just put up there, look at this number. 47,800,000 are domestic visitors from our country. They come from all over the United States and they come back. What begins to happen if we become a city that is a light on a hill, that becomes as part of our DNA, a gospel representation, a redemptive city? And all those people come from all over the United States and visit here for a week and go, that was just, whoa, different. I was expecting one thing, I got another. It was an unexpected life that I got to see. And what happens when 3,655,000 people travel back to their nations around the world having experienced a redemptive city? Whew. See, that's what I dream about. But that's not enough, because that's changing the world sort of vicariously through changing our city. We actually want to get involved in the globe too. So here's what we do. We want to change the world. Through us right here, we want to be part of that story. So that's a big, big planet, right? I don't know if you've ever traveled much, but it's really, really big. And there's lots of people everywhere. You think 2 million's a lot? That's a joke. Billions and billions of people and billions of contexts with billions of languages and billions of cultures. Maybe not quite that much, but it's what it feels like. And we want to engage and change all of that. And it's not enough that our city's doing that. We want to do that. So that's too big for us too, isn't it? So we collaborate and we partner with movements around the world that are planting expressions of the global church, that are moving into widows, orphans, and the destitute's lives and making change and affecting things. We look at movements like Acts 29 and Restore Brazil and others that we are partnering with now, coming alongside them as they come alongside us, and to say, what does it look like to change the globe together with the redemptive reality that we have discovered? And then we create awareness and access for you to take your ability, that is your resources and your talents, and engage them in a global environment, bringing change to countries we've never set foot in. Just a few years ago, we engaged in a little town called Oxum, Ethiopia, as one example. We're engaged in Kenya and Brazil as well. We're getting engaged in other places, but we engaged there. When we arrived there was no fresh water, there was very poor medical care, there were orphans running around on the street, and in all sense, the city was struggling. We came in and we collaborated and partnered with other organizations that were bringing reality in. And now, just a few years later, they have fresh water available to every person in the city. They have medical care that is elevated. They have training for their doctors. That we fly out there with our surgeons to do surgeries during the year, and we're planning to do that again this year. And we have orphans that we here in this building sponsor every month, putting them back in homes and caring for them so they're not on the streets and they're getting educated and fed and cared for and clothed. Is that not redemptive? And that's just the beginning of the dreams we have for 10 years from now. So that's where we're going. That's what we want to accomplish. It's impossible. It's impossible. So how on earth are we going to do that? How are we going to accomplish that? Well, folks, to do that, to make that real in 10 years, we are going to have to pack our bags. We're going to have to pack our bags from the lives that we've been pursuing, pack our bags from the lives that we've been thinking, and start saying this: God, here is my life. All of my accumulated resources, all of my accumulated knowledge, all of my accumulated wisdom, all the stuff I'm doing, and I want to give it to you and say this to you. Whatever you want to do with this, you do it. You do it. I'll live in it. I'll live out of it. You can take it. You can leave it with me. That's irrelevant. Just tell me what you want to do with it, and we'll go do it. We have to step into an adventure that will be full of wonder and beauty and full of struggle and disappointment at times as well, because every real adventure has misty mountains and deep valleys and beautiful cities and wondrous things. And to do that, to pack our bags and to go, we are going to have to take seriously what we have learned up to now and what we are about to learn as we travel through Scripture. As many of you know, if you've been around here for any given period of time, we have been traveling through the Bible from Genesis chapter 1 for the last lots of years, okay? And when I started, it was going to be a six-week series, Genesis chapter 1 through the end of the Bible, quick overview. It turned into a six-month series, a six-year series, and now it's about at 60 years. I'm not quite sure yet, but it's a long time. And we've been traveling through that, and we traveled back in time and started at the beginning and watched God create, and then we moved with the story through the Old Testament, and we got a view of the scope of the sovereignty of God and the wonder of God and the story of God and His pursuit of us and His protection of us and His preservation of us, and the story that He has for us, His redemptive promise for us. We experienced all of that, and we have to go back and we have to remember the bigness of God. And then we stood there, didn't we? We stood there as we watched Jesus born onto the planet. We stood at the beginning of the Gospels as we saw the supernatural wonder of it all unfolding. And we stared into it and we're like, wow, this is the promise experienced, the promise realized. All that we've learned in the Old Testament, all that the cumulative story has brought together has brought us here. Every promise, every prophecy, every reality. It's like it's literally in front of us. We can touch it. It's Jesus. And He started growing and we waited with anticipation. And then He became 30 and He was baptized and supernatural things started happening. And this unexpected life occurred as we watched Him. Everything was unexpected about Him. It was as though He had come from somewhere else, some other world, some other kingdom, some other philosophy, something our souls longed for but felt lost to. And He was describing it to us. He was living it. He was saying, this is what life looks like when you live for a different kingdom, in a different kingdom, by a different kingdom. And we were intrigued and we were drawn, but we were scared, rightly, because it was very big. He taught us things we couldn't imagine. And then we watched as He died and He rose again and we realized the magnitude of His redemption, the rescue of our souls and the restoration of our purpose. And we were in awe. And then we followed Him those last 40 days and we're like, what's next? The adventure's gonna get started now. And then we watched as He floated up into heaven, leaving the planet. And we were like, that's odd. That's unexpected. What do we do now? And we thought maybe the story was over. But then we realized, didn't we? The story wasn't over. It was just beginning. Because in that ascension, Jesus communicated to us that He was about to do something in us that was totally unexpected, totally extraordinary. Instead of being with us in body, leading us so we could follow Him and go, oh, that's awesome, and watch Him, and then He could show us to do little things, He said, no. Now I'm going to come and I'm going to reside in you. I'm not going to be next to you anymore.
I'm going to be in you. You are going to become my body. I am going to allow the world to know me through you, just as you experience Renaud through this body right here. Can you imagine if I was up here just in spirit speaking to you? Either you would be so scared, you'd be running screaming because I'd be glowing and floating half off the ground, or you wouldn't see me and wouldn't even know I was here. Either of those scenarios, not pretty. But because I have a body, whenever I speak or touch or walk or you experience me, and Jesus said, you are going to become my body and people are going to experience my spirit through you. I will send him. He's going to come and he's going to reside in you. And Jesus left and said, go wait. Oh, it's coming. We have to take all of that seriously. As we sit and wait to see what's next, we have to realize Jesus is about to call us out of our world into his world, out of our little homes into his grand adventure. Now, I'm going to give you a sneak peek of the book of Acts. This is cheating because next week we start at the very beginning and we travel, but I'm going to give you a sneak peek because I've been traveling through it and I'm ahead of you and it's so exciting, I can't wait any longer. So I got to give you a little something today, but the beginning of the book of Acts clues us in to what we are about to experience if we embark on this adventure. In the book of Acts in chapter 2, the first and wondrous thing that takes place is that the promise that Jesus made to the people that he was with came true. They went and waited, and in Acts chapter 2, in the very beginning of that passage, we discover that God comes into their midst and he fills them. He comes into them, they receive him, and it's very tangible. And you see these flames of fire supernaturally floating over their heads, and you're like, I can see it. It wasn't like a, did something just happen? I'm not sure. Did you feel it? I kind of felt it. You know, we do that all the time as human beings. This was like, whoa, what is that? It's a floating flame. Oh, it's over my, oh, wow. Wow. And the wind, we'll get to it. I'm giving you too much. Okay, so it was incredible. They received the Spirit of God. We are told that when we come to Jesus Christ and we receive the redemptive reality of Christ, the Spirit becomes a seal unto our salvation. He comes and we receive him. So it begins in the book of Acts with this extraordinary reality that now that Jesus has left his body, you and me receive the Spirit of God when we are rescued into his family. And once they receive the Spirit of God, crazy cool things started happening. We'll get to all of those, but here's just a glimpse into what began to develop. We find the end of chapter 2 playing out this way. So this is now the result. The Spirit comes, they receive him, and now watch. Chapter 2, verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Two things happened, extraordinary things. Once they received the Spirit, they found themselves with a hunger for the Word of God. See, the teaching of the apostles, what was the teaching of the apostles at this point? Well, the apostles were certainly teaching the Old Testament, reminding them of the incredible story that God was laying out, showing them all the wonders that had come, all the things that are being fulfilled as they stand there, as they watch. And the apostles brought through the Spirit of God new revelation to them that turned into a bunch of letters that went to all the churches that turned into the canon of the New Testament that we read today. You see, when you read the New Testament, you are devoting yourselves to the teaching of the apostles. And when you read the Old Testament, you are devoting yourselves to the teaching of the apostles, because that's what they were doing. And they devoted themselves to the gleaning and learning from the direct revelation of God through his word, because the word of God is critical for us to see clearly, to know truth. And then they gathered together. See, after they received the Spirit, and Peter takes living in the Spirit and preaches. It says he was filled with the Spirit and he preached. Thousands of people received the wonder of redemption. And then they came together and they were like, what do we do now? We've got the Spirit of God. What now? And we sat down like, let's step into the revelation of God, dedicate ourselves to the Word of God. And then they were like, let's do it together. And we see these three wondrous gifts. The Spirit of God is given to us. The Word of God is given to us. And the community of God is given to us. And look at the result of what happens when the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the community of God comes together. The very next verse, verse 43 says, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common. That is an unexpected life, isn't it? It violates the reality of our life. A dog-eat-dog world. Help others only when it makes you feel good and pretend that that's not why you help them. Step into the lives, but keep your stuff. Make sure you don't push too far. Don't get uncomfortable. Sell your possessions and give it to others. Are you out of your mind? But this world suddenly started changing. Everything started changing, and the devotion that they had started shifting, and they weren't chasing after the wind anymore. Through the Spirit of God, they were devoted to the Word of God and engaged in the community of God. And then here's what happened. As you travel through the rest of the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, you bump into the first incident and says, Peter, filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, did these things. And it just continues throughout the book of Acts. And filled with the Spirit, full of the Spirit, full of the Spirit, filled with the Spirit. In the book of Acts, you can't turn left or right without discovering that what those guys discovered, what those women discovered was this. Once you receive the Spirit of God to live the mission and adventure God is calling us into, you have to be deeply engaged in the Word of God, deeply engaged in the community of God, and deeply engaged in the Spirit of God. So, as we realize that life, and we will as we travel into the book of Acts, what are we going to do in 2013 here at Mosaic to prepare us to start our journey, pack our bags, and go and change our city and change the world together? We are going to engage you. I'm going to pour all of our energy and focus into engaging you. We're not just going to do church coming together, hanging out. We're going to engage you. What are we going to engage you in? What are we going to push all of our talking and energy engaging you in? Well, we're going to start by engaging you in the community of God. See, you have the Spirit of God if you know Jesus. If you've come to know the redemptive reality of Jesus, the Spirit of God is in you. But, many of us who have the Spirit of God in our day-to-day lives, though we long to experience the Spirit of God and his wonder and his power through us, it seems a fleeting idea, doesn't it? Very often. You go into that big world of mission, and don't get me wrong, the reason I know this is because this is exactly what happens in my home. Oh, I mean, Brooke and I, we enter into our world with all of our kids, and we're like, we have the Spirit of God, we're in a great community, we got the Word, we're going to do this, and we jump in, but we're not really engaged in the Word of God. It's there, it's kind of, woo, you know, but it's not like we're devoted to, and the Spirit of God, we have Him, but that's about as far as it goes. So there you are, and you're like, ah, and then before you know, what's born out of you? Not the kind of stuff you're hoping, right? It's like, no, that wasn't the fruit of the Spirit, it's too late. That wasn't the fruit of the Spirit either. We long for these gifts to be born in us. We long for the fruit to be born in us. But most of our actual experience, we don't actually see that very often. We want to change that. We've got to birth you guys, engage you guys into biblical community in a big way. Engage you in it. Because it is through the community of God, the body of Christ, that you will experience God. He is in us. We are His body. You experience Him through the body. And then as you come in deeply engaged in the body of Christ, we are then going to engage you through that engagement in the community of God into the Word of God. Americans are pathetic when it comes to the Word of God. I tell you right now, hey, let's memorize a passage of Scripture together this week. Let's do James chapter 1. You go, what? Are you out of your mind? Verse 1, maybe, but I need a month. Now, let's just be honest, right? We've got about 26 verses from my best calculation that all of us kind of know, but not really. And that's the entire scope of our actual hiddenness of the Word of God in our hearts. We're going to engage you in community, and then we're going to make those communities that engage you in the Word of God. Challenge you to be devoted to the Word of God, to learn it, to study it, to meditate on it, and to memorize it, to hide it in your heart so that it will dwell richly inside of you. 2013, we're going to push that on every level. And then we are going to learn together through those communities, those biblical communities, and through the Word of God, as we engage in the Word of God, even here in our gatherings through the book of Acts, we're going to learn together what it actually looks like, what it actually means, not only to have the Spirit of God, but to be engaged in the Spirit of God. To experience what it means to be filled with the Spirit regularly, daily, throughout our lives. What it means to walk in the Spirit. It seems that every time the Spirit came and it said, and then they were filled with the Spirit again, and these awesome things are born out of them. Gifts come from the Spirit of God. They don't come from anything else but the Spirit of God. Suddenly there's faith and you didn't have it and you're like, oh, there's faith. Where did that come from? Because the Spirit of God has filled you and the faith is born. Or you're walking around and suddenly there's someone you don't even like and you're hospitable toward them and you're just, hospitality is pouring out of you. You're like, where is this coming from? It's like the Spirit of God has filled you and hospitality is pouring out of you. Sometimes you are in the middle of a situation, you don't know what to do, and suddenly, right there in front of you is wisdom, and you're like, wisdom, wisdom, where did it come from? And the Spirit of God fills you, and wisdom is born out of you. The ability to see things we should not see, know things we should not know, stare into the Word of God and see the revelation of the Word of God in wondrous ways, speak those into each other's lives, wondrous and miraculous things, the wonder to see us beginning to heal one another in soul and spirit and body and step into each other's lives. These are the things that we read about in the book of Acts that the Spirit of God is doing as He fills people constantly with His wonder and His power. They have Him as we do, but He fills them. And out of them are born the most wondrous gifts. And He doesn't give the gifts to any one of us. He gives each of us some so that we have to do what? Stay in biblical community. Because that's where all of them are cumulatively experienced so the world can experience redemption. They're not for us. They're to build the church up so that the church can build the world up. And then, through the biblical community and the Word of God, and the experience of the Spirit, as we experience what it means to experience being filled with the Spirit, being in His presence, being having Him work through us, we're going to learn what it means to walk in the Spirit. Paul writes in Galatians and says, I want you to walk in the Spirit. He says, when you walk in the Spirit, fruit are born out of you. You ready for them? Here we go. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. You give me those gifts for my family, and I can check in my parenting card. Ding! Yes! My children are loving, and they're kind, and they're patient, and they're joyful, and they're good, and they're gentle. Gentle, oh Lord, make them gentle. They're faithful. They never lie. Oh, never lie. Wow. And they are full of self-control. Oh, that the miracles could happen. Imagine what that would look like in a marriage between two crazy human beings when suddenly the fruit of the Spirit are being born instead of the fruit of the flesh. Whew. See, that would lead to a very unexpected family, wouldn't it? Very unexpected marriage, a very unexpected life. And we are going to go there. We are going to hunt down what it means this year to be deeply engaged in community, deeply engaged in the Word, and deeply engaged in the Spirit. And when we discover it together this year, at the end of 2013, we are going to see a whole new world emerge. So this is what I see practically in 2013. In very practical ways, this is what I see. To make that dream come true in 2013 so that our dream for 2023 will emerge, this is what I see. They are going to be little, missional, biblical communities spread all around the greater metropolitan Orlando area, all over. They're going to be everywhere. Little, missional, biblical communities everywhere. You're going to drive anywhere in Orlando. Oh, there's another little missional biblical community. They're all over the place. We have a name for them here at Mosaic Church. We call them life groups. Life groups. We're going to have life groups everywhere. We're going to start life groups all over the place. We're going to develop you guys to become great leaders in life groups because we want to engage you. And in order to develop you to become great leaders in life groups, we're going to have to be dedicated to equipping you, are we not? So beyond just simply engaging you, we want to make sure we also equip you. We're going to develop materials that are going to allow you guys, we're already developing them, to dig deeply into the gospel, deeply into the doctrines of the faith, deeply into the Word of God, deeply into the realities of the disciplines of the faith and how we engage in those things. We're going to help you guys have stuff available to you like this constantly that you can engage in to realize how your money and your marriage and your family and your life and your mission and everything unfolds in a biblical manner. So that as you get equipped and you step into the wonder of a little missional, biblical community leading and being part of that, they'll become a marker all around our city. And then those little missional, biblical communities called life groups, they're all gathered together in gatherings like this one. Hopefully not this one, because we have no more space than this one, but others like it. There'll be gatherings all over the place, some here, some around the city, like our Disney campus that's meeting down in Disney. There'll be gatherings happening where little missional biblical communities come together into large weekend gatherings where we get to celebrate God. We get to worship what He's up to that week. We get to stand there and just go, God, what You've done this week through our little missional biblical community was so awesome. You're so awesome. And we get to worship God together. And then we will experience the teaching of the Word of God. And it will come to us and we will be inspired and challenged. We will discover the story of God so that that week we can go and dig into it together in our little missional biblical communities. And together we will begin to see what life looks like. And then as these gatherings emerge around our city, we will establish people that want to serve those gathering places, that want to make sure they're built up, the children are cared for, and the men and women are cared for, and the worship is taking place, and the coffee bar is happening. And so we'll birth, you ready for this? Little missional biblical communities right within the church. These aren't life groups out there doing community craziness. These are right inside the church, and we'll call them ministry teams. A coffee bar ministry team, a worship ministry team. Whether you're on a ministry team or in a life group, you'll be in a what? Little missional biblical community that is stirring you up and spurring you on to be engaged in the Word of God and engaged in the Spirit of God because you're engaged in the community of God. And all of us, we're going to push you, we're going to push you, we're going to push you to engage you, to engage you, to engage you. We want you to get to the end of 2013, and if you're not engaged in one of our little missional biblical communities, that you just kind of go, what am I doing here? That's what we want. Why? Because it matters. Because biblical community matters, and being engaged in the Word of God matters, and discovering what it means to be engaged in the Spirit of God matters. Because if we're going to have a dream like I have for 10 years from now come anywhere close, then we're going to have to do this. And once we've engaged you and we've equipped you, then all we have left to do is this. We're going to facilitate mission for you. I was going to facilitate it for you because you guys will be insane people wanting to live unexpected lives, doing crazy cool stuff beyond your capacity, believing God, living on adventure because the Spirit of God will be full in you and you'll be walking in Him and the Word of God will be richly dwelling in you and you'll be part of a little community that cries with you and laughs with you and hangs with you and does stuff with you. And then we'll facilitate mission this way. We'll simply make you aware of what's going on locally in our city. We'll say, here are some things that are going on that we see are just doing great work. Your little biblical missional community, your life group, pick one of these and go and get engaged because you have access and you have ability. So just go do it. Here, we'll just make you aware. And globally, we will make you aware and we will give you access because you don't have easy access to places like Ethiopia, right? So we'll create the awareness and the access so that you and I can take our abilities, that is our talents and our resources, and engage them in the global story, in the global environment. And that's it. 2013, that's what I see. When we get to the end of this year, life groups all over the city. Weekends, they're gathering together in multiple places as ministry teams are caring for the church. And in those little missional biblical communities called life groups and ministry teams, we are being engaged in biblical community, engaged in the Word of God, and engaged in the Spirit of God as we learn through the book of Acts what that looks like to be filled with Him and walk in Him. We will see the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit born all around us, and suddenly we will live those unexpected lives, won't we? We will love in unexpected ways. We will forgive in unexpected ways. We will handle adversity in unexpected ways. We will handle the valleys and the difficulties and the struggles and the trials in very unexpected ways. We will make decisions about our businesses and our lives in unexpected ways, full of wisdom and beauty, but yet bigger than anyone can imagine. We will live the kind of lies that people call each other about us and go, should we tell them to stop? And they'll know they can't because we seem to be doing something supernatural. And in those unexpected lives, as we go into our world, people will begin to experience awe. Not awe of us, awe of God, because we are simply the body of Christ living his life on this planet for people to see him. That's where we're going. And my prayer for you, as it is my prayer for me in my own home and in my own life, and my prayer for my wife, is that this year, in 2013, we would get so engaged in biblical community and so engaged in the Word of God that we would discover what engagement in the Spirit of God would look like. As the biblical community drives us into the Word of God, the biblical community and the Word of God drives us into the Spirit of God. He fills us, we walk in him, and out of us are born the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit so that people are in awe of what they see. My prayer for us is that this journey in 2013, that in us would spring up a well, the Spirit of God, that he would spring up in us, that he would consume us, and that we would begin to discover once again a longing for our soul to be intimately connected to the Spirit, to abide in him, that he would be like a river of life, taking us to the places that satisfy and saying, come, come be with me, and experience life. My prayer is that as we experience the Spirit of God and our souls long for him as deer, a deer pants for the water, as the scriptures say, that we would begin to live life on mission. When people say to us, oh, your life is short, enjoy it, build a retirement, go play golf, pick up some shells, it's what you deserve, it's what you need. We go, no, no, no. I would rather go on an adventure that leads to a valley so deep that I feel the weight of mourning on my shoulders than sit at the table of fools and spin my wheels chasing after the wind. Because I know the Spirit of God. I know Jesus, and I know what my life is about. And when I am mourning under the weight of the life I'm living and the world looks in and goes, just be merry, what's your problem? I will not mourn there, but I will know that I'm living exactly what I ought to. And in that place, I will find, as Jesus said, that if we lose our lives for his sake, we will find them. We will find them. But if we try to save our own lives, we will see them slip through our fingers and lose them. That is my prayer for us in 2013, that we are stirred into mission through this journey of engagement in the community of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. And that Mosaic Church can facilitate that for you through little missional biblical communities called life groups and ministry teams, and through the gathering of those together to experience the body of Christ in one all over our city as we change the world. And when we weep, when we cry, because life has gotten heavy and big because we're living insane missional lives, I believe wholeheartedly that the Bible is true when it says that God will not see one of our tears go to waste. He will collect them in a little bottle and pour them out like a refreshing rain. And our struggle will become the redemptive display of the gospel to the world. Does it get any better than that? Those are my dreams. That's where we're going. Let's pray. God, thank you so much that you left this planet with the intent not to leave us behind, but to do something bigger than we could have imagined, that you intended to come and reside in us and work through us so that we are not walking beside you, but you are walking through us and in us, and we are living and breathing in you. That our life is lost and we are found in you, that you have rescued our souls for eternity, restored our purpose, called us into an adventure, a mission, set us onto this planet and said, go now, go into all the world and bring transformation through the redemptive message of the gospel as you display it, you declare it, you demonstrate it so people can hear it and feel it. Oh God, thank you for that gift. And thank you that you have empowered us to that end through your Spirit. And that through your Spirit now, we can be deeply engaged in biblical community, deeply engaged in the Word of God, and deeply engaged in your Spirit. Spirit of God, that we can experience what it means to be filled by you, to walk in you, to experience the gifts and the fruit born out of us. Make it so, Spirit of God, in our midst this year. Make it so. And help us to be devoted to this engagement together. So that 10 years from now, we would see that number 427,000 people. And it would be but a shadow of what we dream today. That we would look and laugh that we could have thought so small 10 years ago. God, we love you. And we can't wait to see what you're going to do in our midst.